Hello everyone, we are here again and this is Expose 247 where we turn the light on Christ. I want to say a very, very big welcome to anybody joining us. And for those who have been following this series on the Prodigal Father, we want to commend your spirit. We want to say you have a very big, huge appetite for the truth in this era where we find showmanship. People are just hooked on shows, they want to be entertained. And so for you following this, we really, really want to say that is very good. And if you're just joining us and you don't know what it's all about, we want to say you're onto something very, very good. Honestly, you're onto something very good. So today we are going to continue the series today. And I hope that we'll get to the one third of the story. You know, we've talked about the younger, if you've been following the series, you know how the chapter opened up. The reason for it, the reason for the story. We see the younger brother, we see the father. So today, I think, I do hope we'll get to this elder brother. You know, it's been a long, winding story. Are we close?
Yeah, we're getting there. If you've been with us on this series, the Prodigal Father series, we have been exploring the parable of Jesus, in which actually he used this parable as a response to the Pharisees and the scribes who wondered why Jesus was actually accepting the publicans and the sinners. And they were wondering why, and Jesus used this parable as a response to clarify their confusion. And I believe if you've been with us on this episode, we've actually been able to, you know, look into lots of the implications that this parable has, not just for them when they heard the parable in Luke 15, but also for us now in this present world. So today, we will be carrying on with that.
So what would be the opening statement for today's episode or the opening verse?
Yeah, today we'll just be looking at, you know, the verse 22, which is right at the point when the younger son got home with the father. Now, you see, verse 22 says, "But the father said to his servant, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his fingers and sandals on his feet.'" Now, we're reading Luke chapter 15, verse 22. Verse 23 says, "Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and found." So they began to celebrate. Now, if you were with us on the last episode or the previous two episodes, we made one thing very clear. We said lots of Christians and even some non-believers, we have very wrong understanding of who the Father is. And I think the Bible says, "Can two walk together unless they agree?" So many people who claim that they know God, who claim that they are children of God, don't have the good picture of who the father is. And look at this. The younger son was on his way back home from wasting his father's resources and wasting his father's inheritance. Now, the kind of father that we think we know is the father that we actually want to do what we call tit for tat. It means if you do well, I'll do you well. If you don't do well, you wouldn't get too good from me. And we're surprised that after the younger son wasted his father's resources, it was the father who was waiting for him to come back home. In fact, the father ran towards him. And that was very strange. And one thing we said is, we said, it seems like we think this father doesn't know the implication of what his son did. And that's not the truth. The father knew the implication of what his son did. But what the father did was what we call substitution. Which means if you noticed, as soon as the son got back, what did he do? He decided to kill a calf. Now, this is what we call the power of redemption. Because, you see, there's always Jesus smuggled into this story, the death of a calf. And that's why we said to people that when we talk about the grace of God is not the fact that we are watering down the gospel. The grace of God simply says the standards, the demands of God are too high that no man can keep it. Now, if anybody thinks they can keep God's standards, if anybody thinks they can live up to the demands of God, they don't know what God's standard is. And we said before that the Bible says that what? It says that all have sinned and come short of God's glory. Now, when you see someone who thinks they're really good, it's simply because they're comparing themselves to their neighbor. I mean, at times when somebody says, "I think I'm a good person." I mean, I was speaking with someone 2 weeks ago, and he told me, he said he thinks he's a good person. I said, "Are you sure?" Now, people say they are good because they think they're not as bad as the next person beside them. But unfortunately, God will never compare us to our neighbor. God will compare everyone to his glory. The Bible says, "All have sinned and fall short of God's glory." The glory of God is Jesus. The Bible says that he is the expression of God's glory.
Yeah.
And if we use Jesus as a parameter, nobody can actually meet that standard. And because of that, God concluded everyone on the scene. And what did God have to do? It means, the Bible says that all we as sheep have gone astray. And God has laid upon Jesus the iniquity. So nobody can keep the standard. Only Jesus kept the standard. And God decided to do something. Substitution. It means if Christ kept the standards, why wouldn't God then give us the benefit of Christ's standard? And the sin and the nature of sin and death that we deserve, he put it upon Christ. And that's why the Bible says, he that knew no sin was made sin for us, so that we can become the righteousness of God in him. So in summary, the younger son was on his way back home, and it seems like the father didn't really care what the younger son did in wasting his resources. The father cared. How did we know that? Because right in this story, there was the killing of a calf. Somebody had to pay. So the calf, the father said to his servant, quick. He said, bring the robe. Now watch it. He said, bring the robe. He said, that means the younger son had something being given to him. Something that didn't belong to him.
Before.
Something that he never deserved. It was put on him as a cover. It's called the robe of righteousness. And that's what comes on us in Christ Jesus. That's why the Bible says, anytime we pray, we said this last time, but we didn't actually clarify this. Many Christians don't understand what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. Now, we think praying in the name of Jesus is like using a magic wand. I say, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. No, it's more than that. Praying in the name of Jesus is far beyond using a magic wand to say Jesus' name. How did I know that? We've seen scriptures where you've seen the Apostle Paul pray without even mentioning Jesus' name. In fact, there was a time when they had this girl who was demon-possessed.
Yeah.
And it was following, Apostle Paul. And the demon-possessed girl kept saying that these are the servants of God that show us the way of righteousness.
The way of salvation.
And it got to a point when Paul was vexing his spirit, Paul just said, get out of her. I mean, Paul didn't say in the name of Jesus. We've seen prayers in the scriptures, and there's no name of Jesus this on the New Testament. Now, it means the Bible is not simply saying we should use the name of Jesus as a magic wand. What it's simply saying is, once you pray and you stand before the Father, come in the name of Jesus. Come in the person of Jesus. Come in the place of Jesus. Do you have the revelation that once the Father sees you, he's not seeing you, he's seeing you clothed in Christ? That is why in this parable, as soon as the younger son arrived home, they put a robe on him, a cover, which means from that time when the father was looking at him, the father was not just seeing the younger son, he was seeing the robe, the cover upon his life. And it's the same understanding we need to have, that anytime we stand before the Father, we are not praying in our name. We are not talking on our credit. We're not talking on the basis of our performance. We are talking on the credit and the performance of Jesus. So don't stand before the Father in prayer, except you're standing in the name and the person of Jesus. And this is what this is all about in this parable. And you see, once we do that, it is very hard for Satan to put condemnation on us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are covered, who are under, who are in Christ Jesus. Now, for those who are not in Christ Jesus, for those who don't live in that revelation of being inside Christ Jesus, for those who don't see the revelation of being robed in Christ Jesus, they will be under condemnation. So this is it. This is the victory that we have that understanding. And that's why as soon as the younger son arrived home, they put a robe upon him. That's what it signifies, a cover for him. So from that day, the father is no longer seeing the younger son. He's seeing the younger son that was decked and covered in that robe. And that is what this simply means. But like we said, the next thing says they had to kill a fattened calf. That means somebody had to pay for the fact that the younger son disobeyed his father, walked out and wasted his father's inheritance. So you are wondering, now the question you're wondering is, how come the father decided not to treat the younger son based on the way he wasted his resources? How come the father, from that time on, decided not to treat his younger son on the fact that he was a prodigal son? Now the answer is simple. Because they killed a fattened calf. All his iniquity, all the sin, all the shortcoming on the younger son was transferred to this calf. That's why, if you noticed, this fattened calf was put into the story. And that the Bible says, without remission of what? He said there's no remission of sin unless there's a shedding of what? Of blood. So this is what we understand. So we understand that anytime we talk about the grace of God, we are not watering down the gospel. We are simply saying God's demands are too high, that it takes only God to meet his own demands. And Christ met it, and we receive the benefit by which we have faith in him for that shedding of his blood.
Oh, wow. So there's still redemption story in this.
It's redemption. That's why the calf had to be killed. There had to be a sacrifice. And that's what we do when we talk about the grace of God. We exalt the sacrifice of Jesus. That's what we do. We exalt the fact that we're simply saying Christ became a sacrifice for us. There was a substitution that happened at Calvary. And we leave. See, anytime we talk about these things, you know what amazes me about these things? Is that a lot of Christians end up thinking that this is the salvation story. They think, oh yes, I think I'm born again. I think I'm a Christian. So this is not really about me. This is talking about those people who need to give their life to Jesus. But let me tell you this. What we are talking about today is not about giving your life to Jesus. Because the Bible says, as you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk in him. The same way you receive Christ is the same way you have to walk in Christ. This is not about receiving Christ to be saved. The Bible says, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so, can you see that? In the same manner, in the same pattern, you have to walk in him. So the implication of the gospel is not just for salvation. It is for everyday living.
Yeah.
Everyone has to live in the reality of the gospel. It's not for salvation. Thank God that's a starting point. We have to live in that understanding daily. I don't know how many Christians will come to the place of prayer and don't have enough confidence that God will answer their prayers. It's because of this. How many Christians will, you know, we would actually get to the place of walking with God and they're not fully sure, they're not fully confident of what they can get from the Lord? It's because of this problem. Why? Because anytime we come, the Bible says that if our heart does not condemn us, that's 1 John 3. It said if our heart does not condemn us, then we have confidence towards God. Then we know that whatever we ask from the Lord, we receive. Can you see that? If our heart does not condemn us. Now, if we don't understand the fact that the younger son got back home and the father accepted the younger son on the premise that he had a new robe on him, on the premise that if a calf was killed for him, that is the basis in which he was accepted home, and the father did not count against him the errors that he committed. And that's it.
I wish I had known this years back, because, you know, when you get to this part of the story, really, I feel so disgusted about it. We felt that the father was not fair, and why? It's just...
Yeah, because
so
you
don't know that he transferred it. He transfers his aggression.
Yeah.
The father transfers the aggression on the land.
You would think the father wasn't fair enough. Why wasn't the father counting the sin of the younger son against him? The father was doing it. But it was counting against something else. And that's what happened in our redemption in Christ Jesus. That's why Satan cannot deceive you anymore. That is why the Bible says we should be careful in 1 Corinthians 11. It said, lest the same way the devil deceived Eve, that our minds be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. So we're easily corrupted in our minds in the same way he deceived Eve. So we have to be bold and understand the fact that it is not that when we talk about the grace of God, it's not about, I say that again for the third time, it's not about watering down the gospel. It's about the fact that we understand that whatever we deserve, Jesus took it. And whatever Jesus deserved, we took it. And it's as simple as that. So if the enemy comes knocking the door, just remind him of that every time.
Yes, just like what this expose 247 is all about. It's just like, you say, turning the light on Christ. It's just like the Emmaus story. When Christ was trying to explain to those two disciples, he said, you went through all the scripture, watched from all the prophets to see what has been said of him, showing it. So I'm very, this, like today, I wasn't expecting the redemption story in this, in this Luke 15. I have never thought of Christ being inside of it. So we can see that this is what this program is all about. So showing Christ, turning the light on Christ, even from every story that is spoken of him.
It's all about Christ. So all the laws and the prophets prophesied to John, from that time God's kingdom has been preached. It's all about Jesus Christ.
So if you are going to take anything away from today, just want you to know that the God's grace, there's nothing we can do about it. It's the reality. No matter whether people feel offended about it, we can do nothing against the truth. It's God's grace. And then you can see the Father again being shown. We see the grace of God shown in this story again. The Father is ready to transfer that aggression
upon something. They said, quick. Now he said, quick. You see that? I said, quick, kill the calf, quick, put the robe, quick, that's it, quick, do it quickly, quick, and that's what happened.
So don't cheat yourself out of the Father's benevolence, because the aggression is already transferred on his son. So don't try to put it
anger,
on yourself.
He's already put the anger on his son. And that's why it's amazing. If you tell people that God cannot be angry with you
anymore,
and people say, how is that possible? God cannot be angry with you. If God is angry with you, it means you don't really believe the reality that he transferred his anger and his aggression on his son. Because the Bible says all we, that's Isaiah chapter 53. He said all we like sheep have gone astray. That's Isaiah chapter 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. But he said God has laid upon him, who is him? That's Jesus, the iniquity of us all. That's what the Bible says. He said all we like sheep have gone astray. Whatever we did, the laws of God that we broke, whatever we did in Adam, he said, all we like sheep have gone astray, but God has laid upon Christ anger. The consequence, the repercussion, God's wrath, all was on Christ Jesus. So how can then God be angry with you? That's the big question. If he has transferred it on Christ, his son.
As long as you have accepted that, so that's don't walk
point.
Out.
Yeah. That's the point. And if you accept that, God will keep looking at you through that lens. And see, there's one thing I found out. It's one way, the way God looks at us. It's a whole different way, the way we see ourselves. And that's the most important. The reason why we're on this episode is to make Christians understand the reality of the nature of the Father. The true nature of the Father. Who is the true Father? Is it the way culture has taught us? Or the way religion has taught us? Or the way Christ thought the Father himself. In fact, there's a place in the scriptures that says, no one at any time has seen God. No one has seen the Father at any time. But he said, the Son of God who has come from his side has revealed him. Only Christ revealed to us who the Father really is. And if we're going to understand who the Father is, we have to look at what Christ did reveal about the Father. In fact, when Philip did ask them, and he said, show us the Father. What did he say? He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So we need to look at Christ and the revelation of the Father that Christ brings. And only then can we be free from the manipulations of Satan. Don't forget, the first temptation that the enemy used to bring down Adam and Eve was the fact that he manipulated the picture of who the Father is to them by lying to them about the true intention of the Father. And that's why he brought them down in the Garden of Eden. And I submit to you, the most dangerous attack of Satan against humanity is not anything else but the fact that he is intent to distort who the Father really is,
the
image of the Father. That is the most successful attack that Satan can bring against anyone. And that's what we need to know on this episode.
I cannot overemphasize this point. You know, from the past, I think the last two or three episodes, I was telling about when we were trying to reconcile the Old Testament picture of the Father and the New Testament. So yes, if you are so well versed in the Old Testament representations of the Father through the prophet and what you have read, just like somebody reading a part of the story has read part one. And has not gotten to part two, you know, and the person is confidently thinking he has known all the full story. So until you get to the part, you get to the part B, now which is Christ, which is the summary of everything. You know, the book of Hebrews said that he has ended up all speaking. So there's no more any other part coming. Christ is the representation of everything.
He is the sum of all spiritual things. The Bible says the sum of all spiritual things. God has spoken to us
through all the prophets.
At different times.
Yes.
Through the prophets. At different times in different manners. But the Bible says in these last days, he has spoken to us finally through his son. So his son, Christ Jesus, is the final expression
of
who the Father is. So if we look at the son, we look at the revelation of Christ, we will see who the Father really is. Because Christ reveals the true nature of the Father. I know you've read in the scriptures.
If you are confused about Exodus, Job, just look through Christ.
You know, you're wondering in the scriptures, we've seen Moses, who the Bible says, I mean, God said he speaks to me face to face. And that's Moses. But yet, Jesus did say, in the whole of the old covenant, nobody knew who the Father truly is, except until the Son came to reveal him. So he's the final expression of the Father. And as we look at the Son, we can see the Father, because the Son is the full representation of who the Father is.
I thought we were going to get to the elder brother. No. We are still not yet at the elder brother. So, viewers, we hope you will join us next week on this episode. You just really need to, we need to get to the end of this. We need to get everything that is packed in this story. We want to get everything, every gem. We want to bring them out. So, till we see you next week, just, I think you should just run to the embrace of this loving Father.
Amen.
Take everything that he has to offer, his graciousness.
Don't let religion cheat you out of your reward in Christ. We
and
have to
remember that you should not put yourself in harm's way. He has transferred that aggression on the son, on his son. And we can see in this story the substitution of that lamb.
They had to kill the calf in the story.
Calf.
The calf
so
was
the
killed.
Aggression of the father, the justice of the father is satisfying the son. So don't go with the impression that you have to suffer for this, you have to carry this. So we will see you next week. So bye and stay in God's grace.
Amen. God bless you. Bye.
Bye.